In this is in section Shin Tazayin, that's 316. You know, the Esrog needs to be traditionally the exact fruit, the exact citrus that we know by tradition that it's been. Unfortunately, over the generations, it was grafted, it was mixed in with other things. It was hard to determine. So what the most the best way to do is to go to a place which you know that for generations people have been using those trees and those estrogen. You know, they have been established to be the right fruit. So, but this person asked the Rebbe that the people use estrogen, and the rabbi says that they have been established, that they are pure breed, that they are the real thing, and they're not Murkovim, they're not mixed in. But there is a way they tell you how to check the original, was a real Esrog. A real Esrog has seeds in it. B, the skin of the Esrog is bumpy, not smooth, not like a lemon, you know, it's a bumpy look. And there's more, but he says that this rabbi is asking the Rebbe, they say it's been established to be kosher, but he doesn't find the qualifying signs that make it kosher. So can we use those Esrogim? That's what he wants to know. So the Rebbe says that if it's been sure, if you're sure, certain, that these Esrogim have been used, you know, for generations, or that this has been established as kosher, so then they should be kosher. They are kosher to fulfill the mitzvah of the four species. Because
the other Esrogim might not be kosher.
If it's not if it's a Murkov, if it's a mixed species, then it's not kosher. Okay, and but the Rebbe gives his reasoning. The Rebbe says these signs that they use to find out are not Torah signs. In other words, it doesn't say anywhere that it has to have seeds in it, for example, to be kosher. That only came later on, because the fact was that the kosher Esrogim they used to see have seeds and the other ones don't have the seeds, so they came up with that way to check it out. But the Torah law is that something that has been established as kosher, we have to accept it as kosher if it's been really established the way. That's
why.
What, because they've been using it, so we're saying, we're assuming.
Everyone used this.
No, but they say that's precisely what we're saying. If people would use it, and if it wasn't good, they would not allow to use it. The fact that they were using it means that it's been established, that it's been okay. So let's say, for example, if somebody walks into your house and they see a certain food, let's say a certain, and you're known to be keeping kosher, you're known to be scrupulous, and then the person says, well, I know that this is kosher because I've seen this being used in this home, and I know that they keep kosher. So basically, signs are not as strong as established kosher. Once it's been established kosher, that has more power than even then if you have the signs that would tell you, well, maybe that's not a pure Esrog. But we go by the Chazaka. But in Chabad, anyways, the tradition is to use Davke, the Esrogim that grow in Calabria. We said in Italy, and we had a discussion in previously. And the Alter Rebbe said that is for reasons known to him. So he did not divulge exactly what the reason is. But yet, so what the Rebbe says, I'm not going to say just because the Alter Rebbe said that you have to use Calabria, that everybody else is not okay. People use it, and that becomes a established for many generations. People use that shrogim. So, but the Rebbe says for Chabad Chassidim, we don't have to. If they're using it, so the Rebbe is suggesting to this rabbi, if they've been using that esrog for all these generations, it's not your job to go ahead and start making doubts or questions or things like that. It's okay for them to use it. But for us as Chabadnikis, we go by the Alter Rebbe's tradition, and we make a bracha only on esrogim that come from Calabria. That's what the Rebbe suggests is. And
so all
through the various different places in which the Chasam Sofer, he discusses about the simonim, those signs which are provided for. We'll read further in another letter. Another thing is that the esrog needs to have, in order, one of the signs for a kosher esrog. It either has the pitum, that's and the tom, the pitum, or at least it also has like a hole in the place where there should be the pitum. So there is like a sense of being there a pitum. So it turns out that. The person asking the Rebbe, grafted, the pure are lacking these simonim that make him that an esrog should have. The other ones that have him are murkav. So which one should he better use? A esrog that has been a mix, not a pure, or is he better to use a mixed one, but at least it has the pitum or the groove for the pitum? So the Rebbe says that, you know, there is we don't have a very clear also about chicken. We only use chicken, but there's a lot of other species. The Torah prohibits certain birds, but there is some which we don't know. But the way we go, how do we know which chicken? You know, recently there was also like a big debate about some different kind. I forgot what the name is. The different kind within the chicken, it's a little different. So, how do we know what is really a kosher chicken? What is a kosher? So the Chasam Sofer says that that's established by tradition. In other words, whatever the tradition is, we can't start new. Whatever has been used, that's what we use.
What's the connection between the etrog and the chicken?
Oh, so he says the same thing is, how do we know which etrog is good? We only go by tradition. It's just like by the bird. We go by tradition. Over here also, we go by tradition. Whatever's been used, that's what we can use. Because all these signs that you have, the pitum and the groove, these are not from the Torah. These are not Torah signs. There is no requirement. It's not mentioned in the Talmud. It's not mentioned in the earlier commentators. They don't mention that. So, therefore, you know, it is a suggestion. The fact that they say that there has to be this groove in the esrog, and that's not because you need that, but that's because that the facts were that those that were traditionally accepted had those grooves. So the people thought that they thought that was a requirement, but the Rebbe says, if we see now esrogim, that we know by the tradition that they were okay, they weren't murkav, even though they don't have the pitum, even though they don't have the hole, And we're still going to accept it. Because the Rebbe says these signs do not make it, do not disqualify it if we have an established, similar to what the Rebbe wrote in the previous letter. And the Rebbe says that the Chassam Sofer himself talks about some, and he says they were okay, even though they don't have this pitum, or they don't have the groove. The Rebbe says that maybe those who ruled that it needs to have a pit, maybe they never saw the kosher esrogim that didn't have them, so therefore they thought in their view, because that's what they saw, they saw that the kosher ones had it, the not kosher ones don't have it, so therefore they made that into a sign. But if we reveal specifically that we have by tradition, then that would be okay. And further, he writes another letter. He writes to the Rebbe over here. One of the other differences between esrog, the stem, is inside.
Mm-hmm.
A lemon or another, its stem is not inside. It's outside. It's on the top. So the Rebbe gives another way. It comes up with another idea. The Rebbe says, look at that tree. Look at some of the other, if it's the same tree, then it's kosher. It doesn't make a difference. You can't have one esrog on the tree.
No one sees the tree.
No, the people that are going to pick the tree.
Oh, they pick the tree.
So they're going to pick from the tree. So the Rebbe suggests that they should check maybe on the tree itself, maybe there's some grow with those protrusions. You know, like in the skin, I said the bumpy, the skin of an esrog is bumpy, and maybe some grow out, so then you'll be able to see that even though they don't have those bumps, still they grow from the same tree. And the same thing goes as far as the oikets, as far as the stem goes, maybe there's some of them that grow also on the top. It could be it's on the same tree. So
typically, right,
it says that those svarim that required it to have the bumps, and they didn't talk about whether in that same tree you find other ones. So the Rebbe is suggesting they should look at it. And so again, the Rebbe quotes again, and the Rebbe is that it really, the most important thing is the tradition, is what it's been established. In other words, if we know at a certain tree that's been used, or a certain esrogim that has been used for many generations, or people relied on that, then even if it doesn't meet some of the other signs that would show, it would still be okay. I guess we use those signs in a case where we don't know. We just have to look. We want to see. This is a kosher. We don't know where it comes from. We have no established with it. Then we'll go by the signs. If it has the seeds, if it has the bumpy, if it grows the stem inside, if it meets all the criteria, then we would say that it's a kosher restaurant.